Instead of messages from space, their minds were on nappies, bottles, baths and feeding times. On the cold Asian satellite Milker, there was much increase in activity. Craft after craft entered and left through the heavy airlock gates. It is an oasis for the space traveler where crew and craft can find rest and repair. Inside the giant sphere there are comfortable quarters and even replica outdoorsons with lawns, shrubs, fountains and recreation. Towering above the levels, with their maze of tunnels and lodging halls, is the huge transparent observation dome, the nerve center of the giant sphere with its eyes and ears. There are antenna bristling in all directions for the receiving and transmitting instruments. Illuminated dials and pansoft-Ls are manned continuously by men and women operators. At the highest level is the control bridge with a gubsoft-Ickle where the captain of the ship, at this time our friend Kashendo, is stationed. Note though an artificial satellite several miles in diameter is a stupendous construction, it is not entire soft-y an impossibility. NASA is studying such a project F-soft-N now. There are several unpublished UFO cases in of soft-ing such gigantic craft. A published one is described in detail in UFO Contact Greater Than from the Pleiades, and it was also a sphere. The hangar deck alone had many square kilometers of surface and accommodated many hundreds of craft. Although Melker's transmitters were reloaded with priority traffic, Kashendo found time to send a radio message to Edwin when one of the Confederation's craft was in Earth's vicinity to relay his signals. This occurred about a week after Elizabeth had her baby. After identifying himself, Kashendo spoke to them. "I have a special message for you, Edwin and Elizabeth. Congratulations from us all on the arrival of your baby daughter. We send our best wishes for mother and child. Wayora, Volda, and Mank Dun send their congratulation as well. All of them ask me to convey their best wish on this occasion." Kashendo continued by saying that Volda, Kala and Mank Dun were keeping well. Although their duties took them far from the cold Asian solar system, they feel they were serving the cause best by patrolling distant fields until invading planets were found. Though thousands of cold Asians had lost their lives, their morale was still high. Everyone believed in ultimate victory over the force which threatened their planet. Kashendo continued. "No further attacks have been made on Calder's recently. Volda and Kal have discovered many hidden arsenals within the asteroid belts and beyond. Thousands of missiles have been destroyed. Strasoft-Gelly enough, no other Galdonian craft have been sighted, but our superiors feel that this may be the lull before the storm. At present all is quiet. The face of Calder's has changed during this short period of war. Temporary housing has been provided for all who lost their homes, and places of strategic importance have been reinforced and armed with devices capable of destroying attacking craft." "Yes," said Kashendo, "Calder's has changed. We find it difficult adjusting to our new way of life. The spur soft-it of the people is not broken. In spite of the changes, they smile and carry on. We are confident that in the end we shall overcome these aggressors. It is strange how a nation which has not experienced war for those soft-sands of years has been able to adapt itself so rapidly to these new conditions. Our astral divisions are being reinforced almost daily, and those lost in battle reap a soft-set. Soon our new Corinthian division will be ready, and Calder's will then penetrate deeply beyond the asteroid belt to seek out these aggressors who have brought death and destruction to us." "As I gaze through these large windows of the Observsoft-Vashon dome," said Kashendo, now in a more relaxed voice, "I see thousands of stars stretching out in all directions in a never-ending carpet. I wonder about my Plasoft-net, and I think about your Earth too. Then I think of the many thousands of planets in the thousands of Sist-soft-ms and the thousands of galaxies. Some have not even been discovered yet. I think too of the many languages in which these different races converse with each other. As I sit here and ponder these matters, I sense the grass soft-air and splendor of the Divine One's creation. How awesome are these universes in which we dwell, and the others beyond. Surely, with all this splendor about us, peace should reign. What motivates and drives civilized creatures to cause pain and suffering to other living creatures? Are we not all one family? Kashendo continued his reverie. You know, this station is often visited by wanderers of deep space. I often think of how it would be if your spacecraft would visit the station and journeys into deeper space. Your astronauts would see the inscription in our dung above the airlock, Melka, welcome to all. Yes, this would be wonderful. But it may not occur in my lifetime, although it will happen one day. As I am sitting here talking to you on Earth, it reminds me of the training period I spent on your planet. Yes, I was there for 5 years. In Australia. There I learned to speak your language and I met many people who helped me a great deal during my stay. Everyone I met was very kind and considerate, but most of them did not have the faintest idea that I was not an inhabitant of Earth. I must say that I really loved my stay with you and I have many pleasant memories. I will let you in on a little secret. During my stay there I met a wonderful girl and we fell in love. Her name is Linda. When I completed my training period, Linda insisted on accompanying me to Calder's. There we were married. We have both found great happiness. And we often think of the wonderful days we had on Earth. It was pleasant talking to you. But now I must close. I will be contacting you again at the earliest opportunity. Many thanks to the Byraean Craft for us soft hyphenisting with the relay of this transmission. For the time being, farewell from Melka. True to his word, the now familiar voice from Melsoft-Core brought a short message about 4 weeks later that no further attacks had been made on Calder's. However, on March 24, there was news of another attack. Another blow has been struck at Calder's. 2 weeks ago, Galdonian missiles completely destroyed a small town on the northern side. I knew this town well because I was born in Tifiliano and spent my youth grow soft hyphen wing up there. Thousands of people lost their lives and many more were injured. I was deeply shocked when I was told damaged survivors were evacuated and the place is now a ghost town, smoldering ruins. Yes, Calder's has had a taste of the horror and futility of war. Kashendalsum Enchnet for the newly replaced Corinthian division had left 3 Earth days ago to resoft-Koita, Norskri Cognosia, Sondera, the unexplored regions for the hostile planet or planets. He said the division had been divided into 3 task forces which would also periodically report to Melka. Note Kashendo's voice was another to come through the radio regularly in addition to Voldar and Weora, Zibo, Manktun, and others, all with different accents and characters, and all heard at one time or another by other witnesses. If this was staged and the voices in fact local, it is strange that in the 23 years this has been going on none of those voices has come forward and identified themselves to expose the sham, which they would also have had to keep up for the same 23 years. None of the group of personal friends around Edwin W., nor his wife, Ev recognized any of these voices as alter personalities of Edwin or even characterizations within his capability. He affects no other characters besides his own natural personality. A sham on this kind of scale to fool so many for so long seems to be an MSoft-possibility. Broadcasting equipment is expensive and no soft-body involved had money of that kind, and they would only be fooling themselves, as nothing was done with this before. Never before, said Kashendo, have I felt so helpless. I am anxious for the safety of my family and friends on Calder's. They are in the front line and I am relatively safe here on Melka. Now that have tasted the bitterness of war, we shall appreciate peace even more than we did before. Let us hope that our core soft-fian division will soon succeed. But now, let us return to more pleasant things. I am seated here in the observation dome and look in the direction of your sun, there is a wonderful sight. I see a lonely traveler of the heavens gowned in a gorgeous cloak of silver trailing 45 million miles behind it. A wanderer in space. It is a comet which we can see from this way station. Comet Bennett, it is quite a sight. It reminds me of your ancient Egypt. Way back in history, a comet appeared in their skies. But this comet was one of our starships, one of the early ones to land on your Earth. I must tell you more about those starships, for there are some fascinating records in RRSoft-Chives, but for the moment, this relayed radio transsoft hyphen mission must end. We wish you well from Milka, until next time. Next time came under most unusual circumstances, 20 minutes after splashdown of the ill-fated Apollo 13. Man was making his first attempts to reach beyond his solar system. Sputnik, the first satellite and the first spaceman, had already been sent aloft. Neil Armsoft-Strong had made the first giant leap for mankind. The whole world had witnessed every step of man's voyage to the moon. Project Apollo was already well into its stride. Then came the 13th mission of this kind. The launch at 13:13 hours went off without a hitch, but 56 hours later there was an explosion in the service module, making it totally ineffective. The date was April 17, 1970. The astronauts were completely dependent on the lunar module, which was designed for an operational life of 48 hours. The shortest return trajectory would take 63 hours, and the problem of getting home was serious. The explosions deprived the command module of electricity, water and oxygen, and their batteries were run down. Twice during the epic home run, it almost became necessary to transfer the astronauts to an astral craft which had come to the rescue. Both combined efforts and ingenuity of the astronauts and hard-working ground control won the day. At the splashdown, the ship had barely enough power to open the three main descent parachutes, as one of its three batteries was dead. It was no wonder that President Nixon rearranged those famous Churchillian words, "Never have so few owed so much to so many." Just 20 minutes after splashdown, Edwin was alerted on his radio receiver by Zibo of the Cetonian 6th Patrol. "Greetings. No doubt you have heard the good news that the three astronauts have safely landed in the recovery area. The Confederation, my personnel and myself are happy to have yourself. For the past 3 Earth days, we have been keeping a close watch over the stricken American spacecraft. Melker informed us of the plight of your three astronauts. My superiors instructed me to respond and soft-eatly and give aid to them if necessary. When we reached soft-ed their position, we contacted the commander of the AMSOFT-Erican craft by radio. At first he would not acknowledge our transmission, so we positioned our astral craft alongside their craft. We could see the Americans observe soft-ving use route observation window. One of them had some kind of a photographic instrument, and we pre-soft-some they were making a record of our presence. But soon after they had recovered from their Zur-Soft-Prize, the astronauts made radio contact with our Astro-Soft-L craft. Their first words were, "We come in peace." Then they identified themselves, and the command pilot of the American spacecraft said, "Are you real live Martians? And are you as green as they say?" One, my friends, we all laughed at his joke. Before the Americans contacted us, they had advised soft-ed their main base on Earth of our presence. We have made a recording of this transmission, and I would like you to listen to them describing our astral craft when they first observed us. The recording, which Zibo now played back to Edwin in his radio transmission to Pintown, Natal, resembled earlier ones made by previous Apollo astronauts.